Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. And if you would like to join us, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. And you can call in your prayer requests also from 6 to 7 p.m. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, and it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory.
God be the glory. Praise his holy name. Let us pray. God, my help. You are the God who helps me and sustains me. When I am in need, you are there. When I am alone, you are there. When I don't know my way, you guide me or come alongside me to walk with me as I find it. You are worthy of praise, Elohim, God, my help. Because your great arm reaches out to help those in need, you provide me with all I need to carry out the purpose for which you have placed me on earth. You sustain me with the kindness of your love, the wisdom of your mind, and the strength of your arm. I adore you, God, my help, with all that is within me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. So you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesdays through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson and talk through the Bible. You don't want to miss this wonderful lesson because we go through all the books of the Bible. Amen? And break them down one by one, verse by verse, scripture by scripture. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection by the Wikitones. God is sustaining me. Amen. Praise God. I hope you enjoyed this selection.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all. Let's assemble. We gonna have a church. When I look back on my life and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is sustaining me.
Don't you know God?
His holy
Spirit
is all over me. And no matter
always I am to proclaim my life worth more than diamonds and rubies and gold. It's alright if you try to put me to the test. My God is greater and can more than handle your mess. Quicksand, uh-oh, you thought I was oh no. Just like in a millionaire, he threw me a lifeline. Then he pulled me from a darkest place, left me in the richest way. New life, new thought, new swag, I know you wish you had. Took me out when you had the chance, but God redeemed me and he gave me a chance to unlock the gates of hell, your tactics can prevail. What my God had for me, supersede the enemy.
Love. Thank you, Lord, for your glorious love. God, my help. Please pardon me for the fears I entertain when I don't know how to get through a trial or a struggle. Fears wells up in me as a natural emotion, but I confess I don't quickly chase it away. With the truth of your character or with the truth of your word as I should. Please have mercy on me for not expecting your help, but rather having to be reminded that you are truly there. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, I Know His Ways. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms 25, verse 4, from the New King James Version. And it says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. To God be the glory for the reading of his word. Amen. The writer says one of the reasons we sometimes miss how the Lord is working in our lives is because we don't really know God and his ways. Amen. And maybe maybe you would say, I have received Jesus as my Savior. Surely I know him. What more is there to understand? But if you only know Jesus as your Redeemer and not as your great physician, Lord of Lords, Good Shepherd, High Priest, Mighty Warrior, and all the other ways he ministers to you, there would be a great deal you are missing about his will and how he operates. Even worse, you may not trust him as deeply as you should because you don't truly know his character and how profoundly he cares for you. Remember, knowing God's will means understanding how he thinks about your situation. This makes learning about him and his principles absolutely crucial to your pursuit of his plan. The less you know about him, the less you will know how to listen to him, which in turn means the less you are going to hear from him. But the more you understand about Christ and who he is, the more you will be able to perceive his activity in your circumstances. Therefore, set your heart to know him. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Jesus, I want to know and love you more. Show me your ways. I put my hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that is our devotional message for this evening. Again, You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. God be the glory. Father God, we just thank you for this beautiful, beautiful day. We thank you for life. We thank you for health, strength, wisdom, and understanding. We ask that you increase each and every one of them into our lives, Lord God. Thank you for blessing our homes, blessing our families, our children. Thank you for keeping us all safe from the coronavirus, Lord God. And bless those who have caught the virus and doing much better by your grace. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do, Lord God. We thank you for allowing us another opportunity to praise your holy name, to give you the glory. We come this evening, Lord God, as humbly as we know how, to praise you, to love on you, and to thank you for all that you are doing. We ask that you touch each and every one who needs a touch, Lord God. Heal them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Guide them, Lord God, in the way that you would have them to go. Go down by the hospitals, nursing homes, Lord God, juvenile halls, prison cells, Lord God. There is someone there, Lord God, that needs you, Lord God. Someone is calling upon your name, Lord God, asking for your help, Lord God, asking for your grace and your mercy, Lord God. Touch them in a mighty special way and let your will be done, Lord God. We know that nothing can be done if we don't have you in our hearts, Lord God. We love you, we adore you, and we praise your holy name. We thank you for your one and only Son dying on the cross for our sins, that we may have eternal life through him, Lord God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that he left down here inside of us to dwell in us, Lord God, to guide us in the way that you would have us to go. We want it to be all of you and none of us, Lord God. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Call from Mid-Health Plains. Call from Mid-Health Plains.
your power.
We need your power.
And let your presence,
let your presence fall.
Hallelujah. Come on, voices of Citadel. I need you to harmonize tonight. And let's talk to the Lord. Lord, we proclaim your name.
Lord, we proclaim.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's worship in this room tonight.
raise your voice and cry out to the Lord.
Yeah.
Come on, let's pick it up, y'all. Pick it up.
God, my help. God, my help, thank you for your goodness to me and for your help, which is from beginning to end. You don't take a vacation from my life. You don't rest when I'm sleeping. You don't leave me to my own devices. But you are there when I call on you for help. And even when I don't call on you, out of great mercy and compassion, you help me then as well. Thank you for your goodness and the greatness you offer me through the blessings of your help and sustaining power. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And as we are getting ready to come to a closing of this part of our program for this evening, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Praise God.
I know life can be a blip sometimes. Seem like as soon as you get one step forward, it'll knock you back three steps. Listen here.
You might be feeling that life is getting you down. Uh-huh. Like dreaming you're falling and you don't want to hit the ground. Just open your heart and let him come in. The
What a mighty God to serve.
Amen. Praise be to God. There is no looking back. Hallelujah. And now it is time for our lesson. At this time, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins is going to come with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible. And
yes.
Welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
God bless you, First Lady. How are you this evening?
God bless you, too. I'm doing well. Just grateful to be here and share this time with you. God is good, and, you know, in spite of what we're going through, he still allows us to be able to do, you know, do the things that we need to do to glorify
Amen.
Him in our lives.
Amen.
So we thank and praise God for that.
Thank you, Lord.
So we're gonna get into our lesson for today as we go through the gospel of the Bible. So let's open up in prayer. Dear God, Lord God, we love you, Father. We praise you, Lord. We magnify your name, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord God, you are our all in all. You are the Alpha and the Omega, Lord God.
Yes.
And we know that we are nothing. Without you, Lord. We are nothing without you, Lord God. So we thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that you gave to us to guide us as we make our way through this side of the world, Lord God. So thank you so much for your Holy Spirit, Lord God. And we welcome you into this lesson, Lord God. I pray that everything that I say and everything that I do will be pleasing to you, Lord God. I pray that those who are listening, Lord God, have an ear to hear, and that the message is concise for them to understand it, Lord God. Thank you, and I ask you for your wisdom, Lord God, with this lesson. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so let's get started. Okay, so I think we're in the book of Luke, right?
Yes, we're in the beginning. We're just starting Luke.
In the book of Luke. Yes. Gentile physician. Amen. So, Luke, a Gentile physician, builds his gospel narrative around a historical, chronological presentation of Jesus' life.
Mm-hmm.
Luke is the longest and most comprehensive of all the four Gospels, presenting Jesus Christ as the perfect man who came to seek and save sinful men.
Mm-hmm.
Growing belief and growing opposition developed side by side. Those who believe his claim are challenged to count the cost of discipleship. Those who oppose him will not be satisfied until the Son of Man hangs lifeless on a cross. But the resurrection ensures that his ministry of seeking and saving the lost will continue in the person of his disciples once they have been equipped with his power.
Amen.
So the book of Luke is broken up into four sections. The first section is called the introduction of the Son of Man. And we see that in chapters 1 through chapter 4:13. And it's also called the Advent. And And this happens in Israel. The first chapter, the introduction of the Son of Man happens in Israel, is the place. And we're talking about from 4 B.C. his lifespan, 4 B.C. to A.D. 33, till Jesus, you know, he died at the age of 33. Then the second part is the ministry of the Son of Man, which involves all his activities, all the activities of Jesus. And that goes from chapter 4 to chapter 9. And these are all Jesus's response to saving the lost. You know, it's always about saving the lost.
Yes.
And the second part basically takes place in Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
And the topics are prominently miracles that Jesus did. The third section is the rejection of the Son of Man, and that goes from chapter 9 to chapter 19.
Mm-hmm.
So you see the antagonism and the admonition. Antagonism and admonition of Jesus. And during this time, the topics are basically teaching. Jesus is doing a lot of teaching, and he's back in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the last chapter is his crucifixion and resurrection. And
yes,
that is the application and authentication. And again, saving the lost.
Amen.
And that happens in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, the time span is from 4 B.C., which is, before Christ, and then Adonda A.D. To 33. So Luke, as we said, he's a physician,
mm-hmm.
and he writes with the compassion and warmth of a family doctor as he carefully documents the perfect humanity of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Luke emphasizes Jesus's ancestry, birth, and early life before moving carefully and chronologically through his earthly ministry. Growing belief and growing opposition develop side by side. So just as many people that are believing, there's just as many people who are in opposition,
yes,
to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And those who believe are challenged to count the course of discipleship. Now, we know that discipleship, there is a course. There is a course for discipleship. You know, Jesus said that in order to be his disciple, we must pick up our cross,
yes,
and follow him, right?
Yes.
Deny ourselves. Mm-hmm. Deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him.
Follow him.
So
yes,
there is a course for discipleship with, mm-hmm. with Jesus. But we know in the long run that course is much, much, much less than not following him. Because the course of not following Jesus is eternal death. So
yes,
so I will pick up my course and deny myself and follow Christ.
Amen.
Amen. That is the course of discipleship. And those who oppose, yep, those who oppose will not be satisfied until the Son of Man hangs lifeless on a cross.
Mm-hmm.
But the resurrection ensures that his purpose will be fulfilled, to seek to save that which is lost. Hallelujah.
Praise be to God.
And in verse Luke 19 and 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And according to Luke, is the ancient title, according to Luke, is the ancient title that was added to this gospel at the very early date. The Greek name Luke appears only three times in the New Testament, but it was originally called according to Luke. I guess the book according to Luke. So in Colossians we see how they mentioned Luke. They said, "Luke, physician, our dear friend, greets you as does Demas." So Luke is, and then verse 2 in Colossians, it says, "Luke alone is with me. Take along Mark and bring him with you, because he is useful to me for ministry." So that was in Timothy, mm-hmm. 2 Timothy 4 and 11, and in Philemon, it says, Philemon 24 says, "And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers." So we know Luke was out there. Luke was out there. Along with others that were supporting Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see about the author. Let's see about Luke's life. It is evident from the prologues to Luke and Acts, and if you can get Luke 1 through 4, Hilda.
Okay.
Luke 1 through 4.
This is Luke's purpose in writing. Now, many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples, having carefully investigated everything from the beginning. I also have decided to write a careful account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. Amen.
Yeah, and then he also says in Acts 1 through 5, it also confirms his, can you get Acts 1 through 5?
Acts 1:1-5. Okay.
Yes.
It says, this is establishment of the church, the promise of the Holy Spirit. So in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit during the 40 days after his crucifixion. He appeared to the apostles from time to time and proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So it is evident from the prologue to Luke and Acts that both books were addressed to Theophilus as a two-volume work. Luke is called the former treatise. Acts begins with a summary of Luke and continues the story from where the Gospel of Luke concludes. The style and language of both books are quite similar. The we portions of Acts, and we'll get to that, reveals that the author was a close associate and traveling companion of Paul. So let's see. We got Acts.
Acts 16.
16, 1 through 17.
Okay. 1 through 17, and what is this? 25 through 21. 16. You said Acts
16, 1 through 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
Paul's second missionary journey. Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the believers. In Lystra and Iconium, so Paul wanted him to join them on their journey. In deference to the Jews of the area, he arranged for Timothy to be circumcised before they left, for everyone knew that his father was a Greek. Then they went from town to town instructing the believers to follow the decision made by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. So the church was strengthened in their faith and grew larger every day. They called from Macedonia. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia that at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there, pleading with him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Lydia of Philippi believes in Jesus. We boarded a boat at Troas and sailed straight across to the island of Samothrace. And the next day, we landed at Nicopolis. From there, we reached Philippi, a major city of that district of Macedonia and a Roman colony, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we thought we would be meeting for prayer, and we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshiped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. She was baptized along with other members of her household, and she asked us to be her guest. If you agree am a true believer in the Lord, she said, and stay at my home. And she urged us until we agreed. One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a demon-possessed slave girl. She was a fortune teller who earned a lot of money for her. Master, she followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." Jeez, amen. Well, it went further, but
yes. Yes, so we see here
pronunciation of some of the words.
No, that's fine. But the point is, which I just never realized before either, I mean, you know, it's so interesting how this brings things out. But, yeah, Luke was right there with Paul, because every time you see a we means that he was right there with Paul.
Yeah, yes.
Right. So, wow. I mean, it puts a whole nother perspective on Luke for me. I mean, because, you know, you see him, you know, you understand him being the author, but his authenticity is because he was right there. He was writing down everything that he personally experienced, because he was traveling all over the place with Paul and sharing the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Yes,
okay, Luke.
He was there.
I hear you, Luke.
So he know what he's talking about.
I know, right? Oh, my goodness. Because all but two of Paul's associates are named in the third person, the list can be narrowed to Titus and Luke. Titus has never been seriously regarded as a possible author of Acts, and Luke best fits the requirement. He was with Paul during his first Roman imprisonment, and Paul referred to him as Luke, the beloved physician. And we saw that when we read Colossians 4:14, when Paul says, "Luke, the physician, our dear friend, greets you, as does me, Demas." So during his second Roman imprisonment, Paul wrote, "Only Luke is with me." And that's Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:11. And Paul says, "Luke alone is with me."
Right.
"Take along Mark and bring him with you, because he is useful to me for ministry." So there's Luke again, right there.
Right there.
Paul.
Yes.
And evidence of Luke's loyalty to the apostles in the face of profound danger. Wow. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Wow, that is an evidence of Luke's loyalty. Yeah, he was very loyal to who he was with, Paul.
Yeah, with Paul.
I think was he not the only one that was loyal to Paul?
No. Paul had other loyal, Timothy. He had
other loyal people,
but we're speaking specifically about Luke, Luke, he just wasn't the writer. He was actually writing what he experienced.
Right.
He actually wrote what he experienced, and this is why he was able to write Acts, because even after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he kept going. You know, same thing like Mark. Mark did the same thing too, really, because Mark was right along with Paul too, and Silas. Who his cousin, I think his Barnabas was Mark's cousin.
Yes, Barnabas.
But, right, but they were all trapped. They all went with Paul, you know, to evangelize and bring people to Christ, the Gentiles. So it says here, Luke may have been a Hellenistic Jew, but it is more likely that he was a Gentile. So do you know what a Hellenistic Jew is?
I forgot, because I remember we did it.
Yeah, let's look it up again. I believe the Hellenistic is a Jew who completely transforms to the culture that they live in. It's almost like somebody comes here and then they become totally Americanized.
Okay.
They take
okay.
the actual yes. culture and everything
yes.
of the country. So let's see. So Hellenistic, relating to Greek history, language, and culture from the death of the great defeat of somebody. During this period, Greek culture flourished, spreading through the Mediterranean and Asia. So these were Jews who took on Greek culture.
So they switched from their culture to the Greek culture.
Right. Yeah, let's see what else it says. Yeah, so it says the Hebrews were Jewish Christians who spoke almost exclusively Aramaic. And the Hellenists were also Jewish Christians whose mother's tongue was Greek. They were Greek-speaking Jews of the diaspora who returned to settle in Jerusalem and to identify them. So these were, you know, Jews who became Jews who not, you know, they stopped speaking Hebrew, but they became more Greek, like their culture. They took on the
yeah.
entire Greek culture. Mm-hmm. But it says most, but it's more likely that he was a Gentile and he was not a Hellenistic Jew. This would make him the only Gentile contributor to the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
In Colossians, verses, Colossians 4:10-14, Paul lists three fellow workers who are of circumcision, and then includes Luke's name with the two Gentiles. So let me see, I'll read it. Colossians 4:10-14, and it says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you receive instructions. If he should come to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justus, these are the only ones who are fellow workers for the kingdom of God from the circumcision, who have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, greets you, a slave of Christ, always struggling on behalf of you in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify to him that he is working hard on behalf of you and those in Laodicea. Laodicea,
yes,
and those in Hierapolis.
Luke, that's how I say it. Hierapolis.
Yeah, Hierapolis. And Luke, the physician, our dear friends, greet you as of David. So those two, if Epaphras and Luke were the two that were not included in the circumcision. So this is why it's believed that Luke was a Gentile.
Okay.
Luke's obvious skill with the Greek language and his phrase, their own language in Acts 1:19, and he says in Acts 1:19, and it became known to all who lived in Jerusalem so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is fields of blood, also implies that he was not Jewish. It has been suggested that Luke was not Jewish. It has been suggested that Luke may have been a Greek physician to a Roman family who at some point was set free and given Roman citizenship.
Ooh.
Another guess is that he was the brother referred to in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 8 through 19. I'll let you read that in a minute. Oh, yeah. A brother referred to, if you can get 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 18.
8 through 18 or 8, 18?
No, chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We are also sending another brother with Titus. All the churches praise him as a preacher of the good news. He was appointed by the church to accompany us as we take the offerings to Jerusalem, a service that glorifies the Lord and shows our eagerness to help. 18 and 18.
Yes. Right. So they're saying that, you know, another guess is that he was that brother referred to 2 Corinthians 8 and 18. So ancient traditions, including the Martyrian fragment, Irenaeus, Tertullian, Clement of Alexandria, Origen, Eusebius, and Jerome, I don't know who these people, but their ancient traditions strongly support Luke as the author of Luke and Acts. Tradition also says that Luke was from Antioch. Syrian Antioch. And he remained unmarried and died at the age of 84. That's not too old.
For Luke?
I guess then that was a long time because they were killing up Christians. So he lived to 84. I wonder if he died naturally, doesn't say whether he was martyred or not.
Oh, at least he wasn't in the hundreds.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Okay. So the date and setting. Luke was not an eyewitness of the events in his gospel, but he relied on merely, I thought he was an eyewitness. Okay. So it's saying that he wasn't.
That's what they were saying, right? And now they're saying he wasn't.
I think he was the eyewitness in Acts, but let's see. It says Luke was not an eyewitness of the events in his gospel, but he relied on the testimony of eyewitnesses and written resources. He carefully investigated and arranged his material and presented it to Theophilus, friend of God. The title most excellent or most noble, and we'll see that in these scriptures here, which we'll read in a minute, indicates that Theophilus was a man of high social standing. So in Acts 23:26,
Okay.
It says, yeah, get 23:26. I'll do.
From Claudius Lysia to His Excellency Governor Felix, greetings.
That's right. So it looks like the Theophilus was called Felix. It says again, both in every way and everywhere, we acknowledge this most excellent Felix with all gratitude. And so, yeah, so these indicate they actually called him Felix. And then 26:25 said, but Paul said, I am not out of my mind, most excellent fetus, but I am speaking words of truth and rationality.
Hmm.
So this Theophilus, I guess also known as Felix and fetus,
mm-hmm.
We know that he was in high standing. He probably assumed responsibility for publishing Luke and Acts so that they would be available to Gentile readers. Luke translates Aramaic terms with Greek words and explains Jewish customs and geography to make his gospel more intelligible to his original Greek readership. During Paul's 2-year Caesarian imprisonment, Luke may have traveled in Palestine to gather information from eyewitnesses of Jesus' ministry. The date of this gospel depends on that of Acts, since this was the first volume. So, you know, Luke was the first volume, and then Acts was the second. So if Luke was written during Paul's first imprisonment in Rome, it would be dated in the early 60 AD. However, it may have been given final form in Greece. In all probability, its publication preceded the destruction of Jerusalem, which was in AD 70. So now the theme, purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So Luke clearly states his purpose in the prologue of his gospel, to write to you an orderly account that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed.
Mm-hmm.
And you have read that already, verses 3 and 4.
Yes.
Chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
Luke wanted to create an accurate, chronological, and comprehensive account of the unique life of Jesus the Christ to strengthen the faith of Gentile believers and stimulate saving faith among non-believers. Luke may also have had a secondary purpose of showing that Christianity was not a politically subversive sect. He records Pilate's acknowledgement of Christ's innocence 3 times. So, mm-hmm.
23 and 4 says, Pilate turned to the leading priest and to the crowd and said, I find nothing wrong with this man. They didn't
right.
care. didn't care.
Mm-hmm. And then 23:14 says, and he said to them, you brought me this man as one who was misleading the people, and behold, when I examined him before you, I found nothing in this man as basis for the accusations which you are making against him.
Mm-hmm.
And then in
23:22. For the third time he demanded, why? What crime has he committed? I have found no reason to sentence him to death. So I will have him flogged, and then I will release him. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he released him, all right.
Well, yeah. So the theme of this gospel is the perfect Son of Man who came to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
And that was the key verses. So we have some key, we have key verse and we have a key chapter. The key verse is verses 1, 3, and 4.
Which we read.
And we read 19 and 10. So, it's, and I'll read it here. It seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you in an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. And 19 and 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek to save that which was lost. And then all chapter 15, if we can, how many verses is that you want to share? Let's see.
Okay, let's see.
Luke?
It's 16.
Luke 16, 32
through 32 verses.
Okay, we can split it in half if you want.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If we go down, I'll read to 15. With,
okay.
I have the New International Version. I'll just read down to 15.
Okay.
So starts off with the parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he's joyful. He joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Now, the parable of the lost coin.
Mm-hmm.
Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And now, the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued.
Mm-hmm.
He said, there was a man who had two sons. The young one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living.
Mm-hmm.
After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs.
Mm-hmm.
He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Okay, you can take them from there. 25.
Amen. So meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, what was going on? Your brother is back, he was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and would not go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, all these years I have slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet, when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Hallelujah.
Wow. Yes.
See how much jealousy there was in the older brother?
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
He had a lot of jealousy in him.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's like Cain and Abel. But with Cain, Cain was jealous of his younger brother because he gave the best. He gave God his best. And Cain gave God whatever he wanted to give him.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the thing, too, is that, you know, Jesus was telling the Pharisees, you know,
yes,
because they're like, oh, God, you go and eat with sinners.
Uh-huh.
And
he's coming. That's exactly who I came here for.
Exactly.
You know,
the Lord.
I came here for the sinners. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm. And
so
trust and believe, we were lost.
Yes, yes, definitely lost. So chapter 15, it captures in the three parables of
mm-hmm.
the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son is the crux of this gospel.
Mm-hmm.
That God, Christ, has come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you.
We will end there. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Next week is
okay.
Christ.
So you want to pray us out, and we'll begin back with Christ in Luke. That's where we will begin next week.
Father God, we love you so much, and we thank
yes.
you for this lesson this evening. We thank you
yes.
for understanding. We thank you for the knowledge of your apostles. We thank you
uh-huh.
for life with strength, health, and most of all, Lord God, we thank you for wisdom to help
yes,
us
Lord.
Discern what your apostles were speaking in your words, through your
yes.
words in the Bible, that we sinners can understand and to pick up our cross and follow you, Lord God. We
yes,
thank
Lord.
You. We praise your holy name. We thank you for our instructor this evening who gave such a beautiful lesson to understand.
Yes.
Lord God, thank you for her. Bless her, Lord God. From the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God. Continue to guide her where you would have her to go, Lord God. Let your will,
yes.
not our will, but your will
Ooh,
be done
yes.
in her life, her family's
yes.
life, her husband's life, Lord God.
Yes.
Thank you for this woman of God who truly, truly loves you with everything that is inside of her, Lord God. We thank you again to each and every
yes.
one of listening to this program, and we pray that they get the same understanding that we are
oh,
getting
yes.
from these lessons, Lord God. Thank you for mm-hmm. your son who died on the cross that we may have eternal life, Lord God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that was sent back to dwell inside
yes.
guide us in the way that you would have us to go. We ask that you bless each and every one, homes, families, friends, neighbors, enemies, and Lord God,
yes.
we ask that you bless the nation of Israel and Jerusalem. And we ask all these blessings in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father God, we ask that you touch Apostle Mother Wiggins and bless her, Lord God. Heal her body from the crown of her
yes.
head to the soles of her feet. And let your will continue to be in her life, Lord God. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
God
Thank
be the
you.
Glory. Thank you for
the
beautiful
you.
Lesson.
Ooh, I loved it too.
I really was enjoying this.
Yes, it's so good. Praise
oh,
God.
Thing.
All right, Hilda.
Okay, you have a wonderful evening. Love you.
You too. Love you too.
You
God bless.
Love you, God.
Bye.
Bye. Amen. Let's see. This is short.
You gotta wait. You gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God.
He'll be there. Don't you worry. Well, he may not come when you call him, but he's right on time. trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God you can't hurry.
He'll be there. Don't you worry. Oh, well, he may not come when you call him, but he's right on time. God, the way maker, with great powers untold, he will give you the strength and the courage you need to help you carry on.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.